Hey, Mitch. Morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing all right, considering.
What's considering?
Snowstorm today. Snow showers.
It should be good. Hey, Lyle. Well, you should talk with Lyle. I'm sure he gets credit for snow days.
Yeah, he probably does. But
days?
Mark argues that since I can walk to work indoors, that the snow doesn't matter. Cheesy, that.
Hey, Steve.
Howdy, howdy.
Who's there?
Before Lyle and Mitch.
Oh, okay.
Ann is always early to the telecon. She loves logging in 5 minutes early.
Okay.
So I'm not sure what's up.
Hey, this is a test. I've got a new phone in my office.
It's better.
Yeah, that's good. So the main thing I'm worried about is it fading in and out while I'm talking. So if anybody notices that, let me know.
Okay.
Thank you.
Hey, Dick.
Good morning.
What snow?
We're getting snow showers here on icy roads, and Mark never gives me snow days off.
Oh, okay. Where did I see the picture this morning in the LA Times about an ice storm? Was that Pennsylvania, I guess?
That could be. The Midwest and the Northeast are getting, I think, a lot worse than we are, which may be why Ann isn't on the line.
Yeah. It was interesting because the picture showed an Amish buggy going down the road, and they said it was about the only thing that was safe to drive.
Well, Ann was at the poll booth yesterday. She was acting as a volunteer. Stuffing all the ballot boxes is what I suspect she was doing.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. So what's the weather like in Las Cruces?
Oh, about 70 degrees.
Oh, wow, that's nice. Yeah, we're having our highs here, too. High 70s.
There are rumors that it's going to snow on Friday, though.
Wow.
Snow on Friday?
Oh.
Wow.
I believe it when I see it.
Huh.
And see, our pollen index right now is up about 9, I think, in a scale of 1 to 10.
Yeah. I'm sorry, who?
Lori Figge from University of Maryland.
Lori, got it. Yep, thanks.
Hi, Lori. Any idea where Ann is?
No, she should be calling in. I know she was helping out with the elections yesterday and had a very late night due to the ice around here, but she is supposed to be calling in. I got an email from her about an hour ago.
Great. Steve, so you'll know while we're waiting on this?
Yeah.
There's a chance I'll be a little late calling in to the telecon at 1 o'clock.
Okay.
Got to run my wife over to the doctor's office in the next town over, and the roads aren't great. So I'll probably call if I don't get back before it starts, and I'll call you on my cell phone, but I won't have anything in front of me.
Okay.
Which of the many geos was that?
This is Keith Bennett and Susie Slavny.
Hey, Keith and Susie, how are you? So far, we have Lyle, Susie, Keith, Mitch, Lori, Vega, is that right? Sorry, Vega? Steve Hughes, and Dick Simpson. So we're missing PPI and anybody from imaging. Want to get started? The first couple are Elizabeth, and she's not attending. She's out, not feeling well today. So I'll read what she emailed. Hey, Todd.
Hey, sorry I'm late. Having too much fun writing use cases.
Cool. Lucky.
Yeah.
We were just getting started with the first agenda item. Elizabeth's out sick, so I'm reading basically what she emailed me, that she says she doesn't have much to report. She still needs to send out for SCR 1129, so that's the ad fit and FTS as a reserved extension, for a simple e-vote. Hmm. Did we decide that was ready for an e-vote on our last telecon? 11/29?
Did she send it out?
No, she said she still needs to.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that was the decision.
To send that for an e-vote?
Yeah.
Okay, I think I'll send that for an e-vote. And anytime we can get something moving. So I'll send that to you guys for an e-vote. I'm going to take that as an action. So there wasn't any amendments, nothing. Just send that out for an e-vote. Cool. Okay.
Well, we haven't seen the SCR.
Well, that's why I can't send it out. You haven't seen the SCR?
No.
Yeah, it might be a good idea to send it around before we try to do the vote, because inevitably there are some questions.
I mean, there's been no posted SCR, you know, like formal write-up of it. There's only a summary, a problem summary.
Oh, okay.
But I think in our discussions we, you know, generally accept the idea of what's intended.
Okay, I'll email Elizabeth. Okay. Okay, so that sort of takes care of that one. On the movie SCRs, I'm reading her email. On the movie SCRs. Hey, Ann.
Hey, gang.
Must be where that ice storm is.
I was going to say, it must be warm and balmy.
Oh,
global warming.
Put it with me. Put me in a bad mood.
Oh.
Hey, is Lori Figa on from Maryland?
Yes.
Good. Hey, Lori.
Hey, Ann.
Hey, Ann, I have icy roads and snow.
Yeah, and?
I'm not getting credit for a snow day.
Neither am I. I worked the polls yesterday. I got home at 1 a.m.
Ooh. Yes, but you did a good job.
I had to thaw out my heat pump,
which is a delightful thing to do at 1 in the morning.
Yes,
and I had to blow dry my hair and my toes. One of them was to avoid frostbite. I'll let you ponder which.
Hair.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't think I won that one. Okay, so we were sort of going over Elizabeth's email to me. Elizabeth's not online. She's out sick. So we were up to the movie SCRs, where Susie was the only one who sent any further input. That means we're still missing movie input from Imaging, who's not on the telecon, Rings, who is on the telecon.
And I'm sending it right now.
Thank you. And PPI, who's also on the telecon.
Right. Yeah, I need to talk to – Steve's been out sick, too, and I need to talk to him. But, you know, we don't deal with a lot of images or movies in PPI, so –
Well, I would like to point out that in my answer to her questions, even though she didn't ask me this question, we did say that we did not think this was high priority for geosciences. So I would like, it would be nice if everybody would assess their priority of this issue, and I think maybe it will turn out it's not so important after all.
Yeah, I thought, I was kind of thinking our response, even if it didn't apply to us, we would indicate we don't think this, you know, we don't think we have anything to add at this point.
Because I don't think there's a lot of fuss being made, and it's not that important.
Why does Management Council think it's high priority?
Beats me.
I thought small bodies mentioned it.
We said we have data, but we never waited for the standards people to get their act together on anything, or we still wouldn't have object names.
Right, and I think
that's why I think we should just say that if you don't think it's important, please say so in your answer to her.
I think one of the questions was, this is likely to be complicated, and when movies do start showing up, we want to be ready for them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We're trying to be proactive.
My position has always been, and this is my personal position, not the note position. My personal position has always been that the biggest mistakes PDS has made in the past 20 years have been a result of making standards before it became clear what the data were and how they were actually going to be used. And so I am personally in favor of waiting until we actually have a collection of things that you would call movies from several different missions and then saying, what do they have in common and how should we label them?
Hear, hear.
But is each mission going to want to wait for the other ones to come around?
No, they won't.
They want to be able to write the standard to make it convenient for them. And as I said, it is my opinion that is where the biggest mistakes in PDS archiving standards have been made.
Well,
same token, you can't wait for more than one mission, because if one mission has data and they want to submit it, well...
Well, Elizabeth seemed to think both imaging and rings currently have movie data that they're waiting to archive.
We've got movie data, too. We gave it a pseudo data set ID. We'll re-ingest it later.
I heard Mitch say no.
Sorry, I can't keep track of whether I'm muting or unmuting. It's not an urgent issue for us. In the next year or so, I'm probably going to start doing some derived data sets of Cassini occultation data, and at that point, I would want to put in animations in a documents directory, which we pretty much have the capability to do now. I don't have data that I need movies for. And in fact, I brought up at the last management council or the one before that this seems to be growing out, this project seems to be getting out of proportion and sucking up more of Elizabeth's time than is appropriate for the amount of urgency that it should have. And I got kind of shouted down.
Really? By who?
Yeah. Several of the managers just thought that there ought to be something coming forward. I have to go back and look at the minutes to see what the actual response was. But I'm quite happy to have that surface again, but it would be good if before the next management council, each of the techs managed to talk to their managers and say to them, we think we're actually investing too much time now on this. And I think that Dan was arguing that they ought to at least get some collation done. But I really think that a move to put this on hold should be made. But we ought to make it with one voice.
I think following along with what Susie said and the questionnaire, if we all respond to the questionnaire and we all kind of indicate this as lower priority, I think that's a basis to downgrade this in priority. I think we should carry ahead with the questionnaire.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, we got direction from Management Council to go this far.
Right.
But what we need to have come out of this is that it – if this is the right answer from the tech group, is that the tech group, as an entity, thinks that this would cost us too much time for the amount of benefit at this stage, that it's too early.
Right, and I like Ann's suggestion of just-in-time standard setting, you know, sort of like, you know, as a policy.
I say that? That sounds really bad.
Well, it's the way I heard it. It's like we want to set standards just in time for them to be used properly.
No.
We don't want to be so proactive that we do things wrong because we just don't.
In fact, I would go one step farther and say that I am willing to hold on to data, give it a data set ID, and have it relocatable, but have it in a state that I know doesn't meet current standards because there aren't any applicable standards until I have several examples of the same sort of data. And then I would go back and do a full-up restoration with the new standard and say,
But then we have to figure out a method of sort of putting certain types of new kinds of data in a holding pattern and not impacting complete deliveries by emissions.
Yeah, well,
you know, there's
I did.
Yeah, and there are ways to do that.
Once again, you know, acting unilaterally out of the need to just get some work done.
Right.
On the whole, gathering information is a good thing. Gathering information indefinitely is not such a good thing, but if we can kind of walk the line between gathering enough information and hasty action, I think that's what we need to look for.
I think we're getting better at it.
Hope so.
So Elizabeth's last point is you might want to remind them that the Management Council will be asking Dan for an update at this at the next MC, which I think was yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do that every month.
Or Monday. Yeah.
We need to have the Management Council say, okay, put it on hold.
Mm.
Otherwise, it doesn't go away.
All Dan says is that Elizabeth is working on it.
but the fact is, Elizabeth is working on it, and it's her key task. So I think the real issue is, does Management Council say that it should be taken off the agenda once a month? Otherwise, Dan has to keep asking Elizabeth about this.
Well, maybe a better approach would be for Dan to give a kind of an interim report, which shows that engineering node is kind of up on the technology, but to defer any writing of SCRs or standards.
That can be done, if that's what you want Elizabeth to be doing, because Elizabeth will be able to be preparing it.
Well, I think that will become more clear as we all respond to the questionnaire.
Got to get more responses to the questionnaire, though.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, because I volunteered to tabulate the things, but I'm waiting for the final sets. So Mitch, if I get yours today, that would help.
Okay, I just sent it, but let me send it to you as well.
Oh, thanks.
Ask a question that I've been wondering about, and maybe I asked, but I've forgotten the answer. I'm sorry. When you guys are talking about movie data, are you really just talking about video visualizations? So the more generic question of n-dimensional data is not actually involved in this discussion at all?
Well, that's one of the questions. What exactly is a movie or animation?
Well,
I think there are several answers.
Well, yeah, but if we're only talking about movies, that actually isn't, to my mind, the full problem. That's just a subset that happens to be of interest to the public more than other things, perhaps.
Right. You're sort of wondering why we can't come up with a cube that makes sense.
Well, no. I don't like the cube at all. What I want is an n-dimensional homogeneous array, which we sort of have, but it's not supported in any real way.
Yeah, but a movie is like a sequenced set of frames, usually time-sequenced.
Yeah, unless it's in JPEG or MPEG or something like that. If it's just a raster series of sequence of raster images, then it's an n-dimensional homogeneous array. So a movie is a sort of specialization of
right.
N-dimensional homogeneous array, as long as you ignore encoding and encryption and things like that.
Right. Yeah.
But when you say movie, I think encoding and encryption and things like that. So I'm kind of wondering if the intention is really to deal with the issue of video data, or is the intention to deal with the generic issue of data with more dimensions than PDS currently handles gracefully? Because that might be two different questions.
So what I'm hearing is that Elizabeth should get the response. Actually, Noj did respond to the questionnaire. Elizabeth needs to get the to compile some type of report that Dan can then present to management council. And in this report, needs to be some type of recommendation by the NOS in terms of the priority of the movie SCR?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I think what I'd really like to see from the Management Council is a clear definition of the problem.
Well, or even from the tech, maybe that's part of what comes out of this study.
It could be.
Yeah,
you could say, well, here's what the NODES are actually worried about, or here's the kind of data that we actually think we're going to get. But I'd like to see a statement that says, we need to find a way to archive video data and animation, and or we need to find a way to archive data with more than two dimensions.
So Anne, I'm reading through the questionnaire that Carol returned, and she basically says they have, at the small bodies node, encountered movies that need to be archived, but they're all at the Comet sub-node.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's true.
And so she's asked Tony Farnham, did you see a copy of this? Do you want a copy of this?
I got a copy of the survey like a week ago, two weeks ago, and I haven't actually had a chance to do anything about it.
It's a fairly lengthy reply to the summary, which is good.
Well, I don't think I've seen Carol's reply. Carol, did you CC me on the reply?
Carol's not on.
I'll talk to Carol.
I'll deal with Carol. I heard that.
Yeah, I know. Everything is going on my list of I'll deal with this when I get back to the office. You can't believe how many times I've typed that this morning.
But see, the operative words, I think, are encountered movies that need to be archived.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And?
I think there's also a question of whether we archive them as data or as documents, and if so, what are really the acceptable formats?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And if it's
commonly used formats,
yeah.
Which ones should we be focusing on
of the three or four that
exist?
Yeah. If it's the movies that I'm thinking of, they really are data in that they have information that is of scientific interest that is contained in no other form, and you could analyze them to derive results. But I'm not sure that you could analyze them to derive results as an MPEG. I think you have to recover the original series of images in order to do that. But this is a discussion that we could and should be having inside the small bodies node. You guys don't need to listen to this. We should have some idea of exactly what we need before we go in. And maybe Carol and Tony do. I don't know. I haven't had them together to talk to them for a while.
Okay. Cool. Okay. So my last point was, so thanks, Mitch. You're going to send me those. I lost the word. Todd, you're going to.
I need to get together with Steve. Yeah,
yeah.
Steve.
Okay.
Steve Joy.
Right. Yeah.
He's playing catch up.
No worries. So you might have that soon, though.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
I might have it soon.
Because there's always a chance.
I'll promise that. Yeah.
Well, the interesting thing is imaging is also on the list, and I would say they're going to be one of the larger contributors to this survey.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll give them a call. I'll take an action to give them a call and give them a nice little bug. Cool.
Do they have image data they've never archived?
I understand that they do. In fact, I thought, Lyle, I thought you guys had a movie that Rita showed me years ago that you guys wanted to archive.
Well, to archive as a document. Yes, we have some movies from Huygens that are now in the extras directory because we don't know how to archive it as a document.
Yeah, we have some movies like that from Deep Impact as well, these sort of animations, I think, that show flyby trajectories and things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, and we're also getting them in for Rosetta now, too, which showing the direct the trajectory and different field of views.
And they're really useful.
Oh, they are.
I wouldn't call them data to the archive, but they're really useful documentation.
Yes.
And I think we need to understand sort of what the acceptable formats are. And there's not a priority one urgency, but it's not priority three or four either.
Yeah, I think I would agree with that when it comes to animations that are documentation or explanations of a data set. They are really very important nowadays to visualize complex concepts.
So I think there needs to be some push forward for this. I mean, if there are more important things to do, yeah, we need to do them. But not seeing any, obviously. I think Elizabeth should be moving forward on this.
Yeah, if we can get the Management Council to divide the question into documentation-type animations versus things that might be considered data.
Well, Elizabeth's already done that. There are two tentative SCRs.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know that's for Management Council to do. I think that they've directed us to do that.
Okay, well, when I hear about the movie SCR, I don't generally hear that there are two of them being actively worked. Is one of them actually in a holding pattern?
1098 is a data object, 1099 is documents.
And
they're on your agenda.
I'm not online, I'm at home.
Oh, okay.
Well?
Yeah, those are the two types, whether, data or document.
Are they being pursued at the same priority?
Roughly.
At the moment, yes, because what's happening is movies are being dealt with in this study at the moment, and perhaps one of the outcomes of the study then, it sounds like, will be defer 1098 data object and pursue 99, which is document formats.
Okay, cool.
But, the study itself isn't bad. It's how much effort goes in after that. And it wasn't me that first voiced this at the Management Council a couple months ago. It was Susie, and I just jumped in because I liked what she said.
Yeah.
Looked it up.
Yeah, clearly, the small bodies node needs to figure out just exactly what it needs, which will help or not. Kind of depends.
Cool. And then there was a second email from Lori as well from SBN on movies. Cool. So you guys, you're covered. Okay.
Good.
So anything else on the movies SCRs, 1098 or 1099? No. Okay, that would take us to 118 at ICD, SISIS to Volume Documentation. I became the lead as of the last telecon, and I'm supposed to set up a telecon, which I have not done. I'm going to try and do that. I keep saying this. And for next week, or possibly early next week. That would work out. Cool. And so anything else on that one? The working group needs to meet 11:19. Chris is the lead on that, and he's not on, so I'm going to assume there's just no status on that one. Anything anybody wants to say on 11:19?
Well, if Chris is not here, Well, I'll say it anyway, is that I have some items I need to discuss with him that I think should be on his list, keywords to be included. But I'll just email him separately. Is Patty here?
No, there's nobody from imaging.
All right, never mind.
Can you copy, I don't know, does it make sense to copy Elizabeth and or me on that, or?
Well, I should copy everybody who's on the group. Who else is on the group besides Chris?
I'd have to bring up the web page, because in this format, I was listing all the people, and this one's not. Wow. Somebody changed the website today? The PDF website?
Looks the same to me.
I don't see any change. You're referring to the centers page?
I'm referring to the entire website. Either my browser is broken.
Don't worry about it. I'll figure it out.
Okay.
Go on.
3-119, we did that one. 3-1124, I'm the lead on that one. This is add case to keywords again. I need to set up a telecon with the working group, which I have not done. I'll try to do that too. 1126, multiple occurrences of the same keyword in an object, valid or not.
Yep, still
and nothing?
Yep, nothing on the next one either.
Okay. That would take us to 1129, Elizabeth. We talked about adding FID and FTSL. You already emailed her, so we'll wait for her. And then the last one is 1130, update line and sample display direction. I saw some emails flying around, but I don't think there's any resolution on it.
Can you give me a summary of that? Because I saw that in the agenda, but I didn't have a chance to look up what the problem was.
I can read the description.
Yeah.
Problem summary description. The description field of the keywords line display direction and sample display direction needs to be updated to indicate that when one keyword is used, the other is also required.
Does that mean they've removed the default value?
No, it doesn't talk about the values.
Well, I mean, each of those has a default value so that if it's not there, it has a value which is supposed to be assumed, which would mean logically that even if you use one, you don't have to use the other if it has the default value.
That's true.
I was pretty sure they had default values. I may be wrong.
Anne, could you explain that? You said that you could, that since one has a default value, you don't have to actually place the keyword in the label?
They both have, I think, they both have default values, so that if they do not appear in labels, they have an assumed value. It's you know, right and down or something like that.
You're saying if you put down line display direction and left off sample display direction would be assumed as with the default value anyway.
Yeah, I mean, isn't that what the default value in the data dictionary means?
Johnny, you know.
That's what it should mean.
This is an interesting topic. It's why I'm questioning it is I always assumed default value would be what would be applied if the keyword were there, but then the question is why would it be that would not be there? Okay. Interesting.
Well, the definition says the default value for sample line is down, meaning lines are viewed top to bottom on the display.
But default's not indicated in the dictionary. There.
Well, there's no way to have a...
Yeah.
It's not in the pdspd.full file?
There is a default equals, but it equals nothing in the online thing.
Right.
The old PDF still shows it as down.
The old PDF.
And in the text description online, it says the default value is down, but it's not indicated in the attributes.
All right. Well, it's going to take me 10 minutes to find a computer that has Linux on it and a PDF dictionary to check. So.
Yeah, in the PDF version, which is what there are defaults, but I'm wondering if this is a question of tool usage where if you don't specify, it assumes the defaults, but if you specify one, it gets hung up. And I don't know what the reason is for this SER, whether there was a problem that precludes Anne's
Does anyone know that if when we look in the dictionary definition online and the attribute of default, if it's set to nothing there, that's how it is in the dictionary and that's how the tool treats it? I mean?
The line display. The tools all run off of the pdfdd.full, at least our tools, our validation tools. So that's what I'm looking up in the pdfdd to see what it says.
I'm just wondering whether the online dictionary definition accurately reflects what appears in the DD-full.
I mean, on the whole, I have no objection to putting it in this description. It's certainly been done before, but it's not like that actually gets you anywhere, does it?
No, because see, it's already in the description. It's just not a explicit attribute.
Well, we don't have any way to notate that as an explicit attribute, do we?
Yeah, there is. Well, in the dictionary list of attributes, you know, like general data type and all that, default is one of the attributes, but it's blank for both of those.
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm confusing the issue. I mean, I didn't think there was any way to indicate programmatically in the data dictionary that if you use one keyword, you must also use another keyword.
No. But your argument is valid if there is a default.
Okay. Line display direction, I don't see a default value in the information in the pdsdd.full file.
Yeah, I don't think we captured that as a piece of metadata in the PDSDD.
Okay.
Because I'm looking at the element definition in the PDSDD.full.
Yeah.
There's no default,
okay.
But there isn't any for any of the elements.
But is it an attribute that could be filled in?
I just added Ann's question to the blog.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I got to go to my dentist.
Good luck.
I guess this will come back to this question about default. To me, if the element were there and nobody provided a value, the default value would be provided. It never occurred to me, and I'm not saying this is not correct, it never occurred to me that if the keyword was not present, that the value would be assumed in some type of tool.
Well, you know, I'm probably extrapolating from the purpose of the actual keyword, you know, the logical definition of it. In the case of something like line display direction, you are using it specifically to control the display of the data. And so if it doesn't have a value, you need to be able to assume something about it.
That's correct.
That's not true for a lot of keywords.
Right. And I think, again, somebody said that the purpose of this SCR was to ensure that if one keyword was present, the other had to be.
Well, that's
not, and it had no such, I mean, the default value is another issue, but the purpose of the SCR was saying, if you had one, you had to have the other present as keywords.
Okay, but then the question becomes why?
Because they both are providing, I mean, you have to have information about both. I'm sorry, both are providing information you have to have to proceed. And a default value somewhere in a system that you have to go find somewhere, it doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. The default value is simply what's provided if the keyword were, for example, inserted into a label, and no value was supplied.
But let me ask a question. If these attributes, like sample display direction and line direction, are important for interpreting the image, why aren't they required elements? And if they're required, then they have to be there.
Well, the thing is that they were added long, long after the image document, or the image object, rather, was created. And so they didn't exist in the legacy data, and there's always been a resistance to add requirements to data objects that would make legacy data appear invalid.
Okay. So then even with your argument that if they have default values, you still have to indicate the codependency, because if you put in one, you have to know that the other one has to be assumed, has to be looked for, and if not present, you have to assume the default value. So you still need to indicate that codependency because it's not required.
You know what's even better is I've gone in and looked at the image object. They're not even optional keywords.
If you look at 1102 from Ann, there's an SCR to add them to the as optional keywords to the image object.
Did we pass that?
Hold on. Test release. Yes, it was approved. It was in implementation, and there was a test release. So, test release updated PSDD. So it looks like the most recent PSDD, which would be PSDD.full, by the way, should have it in there.
But it's not reflected online?
Well, it should be reflected online as well.
Yeah, it is reflected online. They show them there without identifying the default. No, I was looking at the standards reference for the image object. It doesn't list these as optional keywords.
Oh, because we haven't released a new... You're talking about the printed version of the standards reference.
Yeah.
Yeah, this we haven't released one for a while.
And I think we've just hit on something.
Mm-hmm.
1102, we made a mistake. We should have made these required.
Possibly.
Make it required, all these other issues go away.
Well,
and nobody has to have secret knowledge when they go to open an image to know how to read it.
Well, these don't affect reading the image. They affect how you might decide to display it.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
And you'll still have the argument about invalidating legacy data.
Yeah. I think we're kind of addressing a number of different related issues here, but my understanding is, and Ron, you can correct me, for 1130, isn't this also represents something we were considering for the, you know, the PDS4 fix to allow keywords to be paired, basically if one occurs and the other occurs?
It's finding a way to indicate dependencies in the data dictionary.
Right, it's broader than just these two elements.
Yes. Yeah.
Exactly. And what I'm saying is, I believe there is a long-term, there's a plan to fix this, and what we're seeing in SCR 1130 is simply let's update the description so people know at this time that both are required. It's a stopgap measure, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, okay.
Right, but that has to propagate through the tools in the sense that, you know, validation becomes meaningful.
Well, that's true. I mean, this stopgap measure, 1130, doesn't fix the big problem, the actual problem, and it, we need to apply this, find a fix for this for PDS4.
Well, there are several instances of keywords that say in the description that they should be used in conjunction with another keyword. Is it true that the people who are writing, who are doing like VTool, are searching through the text in the data dictionary definitions to find these cases, and they're hard coding the dependencies?
I don't know, but we can look into that. But like I mentioned before, I'm pretty sure Ron, at some point, and he's keeping a list of fixes we need to make to the data dictionary, and this issue is one of those fixes, one of those issues that need to be fixed.
Okay.
I'm still confused, and I'm sorry. Why is it that we aren't making these two keywords required rather than optional?
Well, Ann pointed out historical reasons, but the real question is, are we fixing the general problem by doing that? I mean, required says it could be a single keyword that's required. By making them both required doesn't mean that they're paired.
Yeah, I understand that there are two different issues here, though.
Yeah.
But the way this whole thing is setting up, we've given ourselves four or five options here for SCRs. And back at, when we were doing 1102 or 3, whatever it was, we just said those two keywords are required. Whether they're paired or not doesn't matter. They both have to be there.
Good point.
The rest of this argument for this issue goes away.
But the thing is, since the image object is the only homogeneous two-dimensional object that we have, you might actually be forced to use it to describe data which is not actually visual and that you would perhaps never display as just a raster of values, in which case line display direction and sample display direction wouldn't be apropos.
NA is an acceptable entry.
Well, that's true.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
NA is an option. NA is always an option.
I see. Well, you know, this now we're getting to the area of why we should be using an object-oriented modeling approach, some of the things we've considered. Why are we forcing everything into the basic image object? Let's leave the basic image object alone with four required keywords and start extending the image object in various ways for these special purposes. Now, NA can always be used, but I've also heard arguments that why put NA in if it really makes no sense? I mean, or why have the keyword if it makes no sense? And there's very, very easy ways to handle this in a modeling sense.
Right, but I think this also illustrates why we need sort of versioning, you know, where you say this became required after version such and such for the following reason. And we don't have versioning, which...
Well, actually, in this case...
Which always leads to this argument that we don't want to make it required because it'll make other old things invalid.
No, I guess that's my point is that in this case, the base image object, which has four required keywords, stays the same. There's no change to it. And what we do is we create a extended object, something like a object with line display direction information, if you want to call it that, and it's a type of base image object. And so you're not versioning you're not changing the base image object, you're simply extending it and creating a new object which has the two additional keywords as required keywords.
Yeah, see, if I had my chance to start over in PDS4, I would start by creating a base array object, and then you would add specifications to make it an image versus something
exactly.
else.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I would try to extend, in quotes, an image to be something more generic.
Well, let me throw this out. I mean, we're way off in the
I know, we're getting very
theoretical,
aren't we?
But I'm saying if we had a chance, you said if we had a chance to start over, I don't think we're that far off right now that we could probably do that.
But you wouldn't call it an image object as the base object. I mean, it would be a two-dimensional array object.
True, but we already have an array object. You know, what I'm saying is that we could build this hierarchy using some of the concepts we already have.
Yeah, you would basically shift the focus in PDS4 from the image as the primary way of describing two-dimensional data to the array as the primary way of describing n-dimensional homogeneous data.
Exactly, and in a sense, you would end up with image object kind of synonymous, two synonymous image objects. One is our classic image object, one that's kind of extension of the array. Hopefully they do the same thing.
Yeah, Steve?
Yes.
Philosophically, I like most of this, except that what I want to do is make that deprecated. Never mind anything else right now. As a guy who uses images, I want line and sample display required in any image that we archive in the future. I think they should be required, not optional. I think they shouldn't be ancillary. I don't think we should offer a base image object that doesn't require them. If you're not familiar with PDS, then you have to guess what the default is, or you have to go look it up, or you have to get lucky. And that's none of that strikes me as useful when we've got two keywords that tell somebody 50 years from now how to display the thing on the first try.
Yeah. Well, I'm not arguing one way or the other on those two keywords. The domain experts need to tell me as an engineer what you want. That's going to be up to the imaging people and you to decide whether or not those two keywords are required. Yeah.
Well, the SCN has
been... Basically, I keep going back to the SCR.
Yeah.
The bigger issue of how we get from where we are to... a nice, clean PDS4 that, like Ann, I like the idea of start with array and then build image from that, and multi-dimensional array is a, if we set it up right, is the way to go. Yeah, that's good. I don't know if we can fix PDS3 with that.
No, I think you're talking about a major structural change if you go that way and try to fit it back into PDS3.
Yeah. But we have wandered off. What happened to this SCR 1130?
What happens to it? Elizabeth is still working on it, although we thought, according to her email, that she was going to send it out for an e-vote. No, that was 1129. Sorry. I don't know where we are.
At the moment, the working group is Elizabeth, is it Mike and Betty? Who's came in and... So we don't have a lot of involvement. This was seen as a no-brainer, I think, and maybe it isn't.
Well, Mitch, it seems that other than a no-brainer like fixing the description, you're proposing that we have two required keywords or add two required keywords to the image object. Are you willing to raise that as an issue and see how far it goes?
I was afraid you were going to say that to me, Steve.
I mean, test the waters on what Ann said was that the reason we didn't do this was historical, and it's time to raise the question again.
Can't that just be an entry in the blog as part of the discussion?
Yeah.
That we think an alternative solution isn't indicate codependency, but make it required
for the reasons, the arguments that Ann gave and Mitch gave.
Yeah, I think that should be added.
And then that influences the SER that will come out of this, which might be as simple as saying just make them required. Seems like the solution with the least burden.
Well, that might depend on how you define burden.
Mm-hmm.
Coding it in the data dictionary directly is probably the least effort required to get the tools to be able to do something about it in terms of verification and validation in the future.
Right, but I think before we can get to indicating these two are codependent, we have to have an SER saying we need to add codependency as an attribute.
But that was not the intention. The intention was not to try to code some way of saying these things are codependent, but to just go ahead and require both of them in the image object.
So you're suggesting remove the SER and rewrite it?
No. No. I mean, this individual problem can be solved with making them required.
That's true.
But
it sounds like we need a fix to the data dictionary to solve this and related problems right now.
Well, I think
maybe
it's not
a PDS 4 problem is what I'm trying to say. Maybe it's a PDS 3 problem needs to be fixed now.
Well, I'm wondering if you can fix it without making a major structural change to PDS 3.
The question, I guess, is, and I think it's what Ron was saying, was if we just add some type of attribute that says these two keywords are always required as a pair or whatever, maybe it's a triple, then that should be a pretty simple fix to the data dictionary.
Is there an easy way to give us an idea of how much effort would be required to not only add that attribute but propagate the ability to use it for verification and validation and data processing and display through all the engineering node tools?
If that was an SCR, that would be required.
Yeah. Yeah, I would encourage you to write that SCR because I think we would like to do that work.
I'll consider it. here's the problem. It's not that I don't think that it's important or useful or interesting. The problem is that I have two other SCRs that I think are important and useful and interesting, and I haven't been able to get to them in 4 months.
You can rewrite it, and then somebody else becomes the lead.
Well, yeah, I suspect most of that work would fall over here, right, to cost it out and do some sort of study on what it would take, right?
Well, I'm not going to make a commitment now because I can't actually see all the paperwork that's already been posted, but I will look it over tomorrow when I get to the office.
Well, you can send me just like two sentences and I can write the SCR.
Well, once again, I want to read all the background stuff that's already been done.
Oh, okay.
And I can't do that right now while I'm on the phone. So.
Mm-hmm. And I added the comment to the blog about making them required keywords.
Thank you.
Anything else on 1130? One of the things we should consider, especially because I know I'm holding up two SCRs, but we really aren't making progress like we used to. The telecons only seem to be lasting a short period because basically we go through the status. And although I thought this was very useful today, we might want to pick one of these to discuss as part of the telecon, either just the working group hangs on the telecon that can sort of move things forward, or...
I think that's the right way to do it. I kind of have the expectations that what comes out of the working group is a formally written SCR with a recommendation and all that, which then can be reviewed by the rest of us.
Mm-hmm.
So... since a lot of you are leads on multiple SCRs, I think you just pick your favorite one and maybe concentrate on that.
Mm-hmm.
And work it to a written SCR.
Right. Okay. I'm going to try real hard. Lyle, I think you and I, we need to have a separate discussion from even the working group with the SCR where we're talking about putting the upper and lowercase together, because I know I went off and I talked with Sean about that one, and as sort of a workaround, a hard coding versus not hard coding. And I think it'd probably be a good idea if you, I, and Sean had just a telecon on that.
Okay, so, I thought the idea was that he was going to join the working group for a telecon, but if it's just going to do it with me, that's fine.
Can I just say I personally don't like hard coding, especially in the tools of kind of rules like that?
Okay, if you guys want to hold on, we can talk about that. I'm not sure everybody else is interested. So this sort of concludes this telecon. Next week we have scheduled Todd and the PDF-4 information model.
Right. And that depends on tomorrow's telecon with the working group, whether or not we'll meet that schedule.
Okay.
I'm trying to work up the document that we need to review within the working group. And I hope to get it out by the end of today, which is kind of short notice for the working group. We're going to have a telecon to discuss it, and if the working group thinks it's ready, then we'll go ahead with the current planned schedule. We'll get it out, you know, Friday to everyone, which gives a few days, you know, 3-4 days to review it. But it's kind of iffy, you know, so it may happen, may not.
Okay, so my next question is, when should we have another standards telecon? In 2 weeks following today?
I'm confused. Didn't we just hear that there was something set for next Wednesday specifically on the information model?
Correct, yeah. But that won't be a standards telecon. That would be the PDS4 information model telecon. So my question is, do we want to meet on the 27th for a standards telecon?
Okay.
I thought there was a conflict with that, but I don't know what it is.
I wouldn't know.
You mean with the 7th, the date?
The 27th?
Or 27th, I'm sorry.
Yeah, February 27th.
Is there a meeting?
Well, I'm out of town, but...
I was thinking that there was something like LPSC by then, but apparently not.
I don't remember when LPSC is.
And every once in a while you fade.
I'm contemplating the ice building on my sidewalk. It's a little depressing.
So that works for everybody, the 27th? Gio, you guys good?
Yeah, that sounds good.
All righty. So I'll set that up for the 27th, and there may or may not be a meeting. We'll know. So, Todd, you're going to send an email to everybody?
I will.
Okay.
Sure.
Cool.
Yeah, I won't be able to make the 27th, but that's not. I'm sure you guys can do what you need to.
The other option would be the 6th of March.
Is there any significant management council activity? I know they just met.
Is it the 27th or
28th? 27th of February is Wednesday.
Yeah.
28th of February is Wednesday. 27th is Wednesday.
Okay, sorry.
The answer is no, and the next management council is a telecon on March 17th.
Okay, so I guess the only timing issue in that respect would be if we had some report that we wanted to be ready for the management council and we wanted to make sure we had two good meetings in with time for revision before that telecon.
True.
Generally speaking, it's probably a good idea to keep to a regular biweekly schedule if we can,
okay.
So we kind of get in the habit.
Okay, 27th?
Yeah.
All righty. Lyle and Todd, you want to hang on just briefly? We can talk just briefly about this SCR? Or...
That's fine.
Okay. All right, thanks, everybody.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Ron.
Okay. Yeah, I think Antarctica is probably warmer than what she's having weather.
Well, I was thinking that.
Yeah. So where we left off, Lyle, was... In terms of this keyword, we were talking about the keywords. There's a very small number of keywords that have, almost all of our keywords have values that are uppercase. There's a very small set, description, note, where they can be mixed case. And so what we were looking at, did it make sense just to hard code into the software during validation, if you run across these couple of keywords, allow mixed case. Other than that, everything else is uppercase.
Yeah. That's what I remember, as opposed to going through and trying to define this for each every keyword in the dictionary and validating that that is correct.
Correct, yeah. So so I posed that question, and the reason I thought I wanted you on is to make sure that I'm accurately representing.
Yeah, I understand, but
okay.
Where we had left it was I thought that Sean would address the whole working group so that anybody else that might have questions would get them answered. But
Ron, the part I'm not really clear on is, you know, the data types in PDS, like if it's a string, you put quotes around it and, you know, it's mixed case allowed inside, right, for the value.
No, not mixed case.
Not necessarily.
Yeah.
Only if it's really a text object like note or description. I mean, most of them are really supposed to be uppercase according to the standard.
Even if you put quotes around it?
Even if you put quotes around it.
Well,
yeah.
Okay. Then
well, take
I have a
name.
Different understanding of the data typing that's implied by the quotation marks, whether it's double quote or single quote.
Well, okay, first off, throw off single quote because we got rid of that years ago, and there used to be a very formal difference between single and double quoted things.
It doesn't exist anymore.
It does not exist. It totally confused everybody, so now everything is just double quoted.
Okay, but doesn't the general data typing have character sets that are allowed for that type? For example, if it's identified as an identifier, you know, if the general data type for an element is identifier, it has a limited character set. And if it's text, it's or whatever the other type is,
character is the one you're looking for.
Character, right. Character means
identifier does, yes, you're right. But if it's just general data type equals character, no, it doesn't in particular have any restriction
on case.
The data dictionary.
Right. Character means just, you know, mixed case and all sorts of, you know, punctuation and space and all that sort of thing is allowed, right? The character set is much larger than identifier.
Well, but
is that correct?
We have violated that even.
The problem is that some things that have general data type character are expected to have a more limited character set than character allows. Is that what the real issue is?
Yeah, well, I think you have nailed it, yeah.
And so the question is, what other data or general data types are needed, or how do we identify what the character set should be for certain elements? Because character is too big of a thing and identifier is too restrictive, and there's something in between, right?
Well, that was actually sort of the end result of one of these discussions, was to try and come up with a number of character types that we could create and then sort of shoehorn data elements into those restricted character sets, right?
Right. So do we know which elements are the ones that really should have a more restricted character set than the current data type indicates?
No. I think at one point Elizabeth and I were supposed to go off and try and derive some of those. I think the working group felt that was a huge effort, and so we were trying to just do a little baby step here. Starting
mission on my part was that instead of going off to do all that, if we had Sean simply hard code into the validation that any keyword of with a class ID of note or description or text should treat it as those keywords as having full alphanumeric character set, all ASCII characters, whereas any other keywords of general data type of character, it should be assumed to have alphanumerics only, and maybe a few like underscores and decimals.
Well, okay. I mean, that's reasonable, I suppose. But what I would recommend...
it would save a lot of time, I think.
Right. But I don't think we should hard code it, because that doesn't... I think that's going to, in the long term, be a problem. But if there's only those three
items... I'm not convinced of that.
Yeah, but if there's only those three elements, why don't we just introduce a general data type of text
and then you just mark those three elements as text in the dictionary. And
well, it's not that it's three elements, those three. It's that they have class, those three class words.
Okay, those three class words, but we can
track down all of those values.
Right,
but
right, we can identify those through a simple search on the dictionary.
Right.
But what are those class words? So that doesn't seem like an intractable problem. In terms of coding into the dictionary and then still leaving the tools driven by the dictionary, not by some internal hard-coded rule.
Well, I will point out, though, that there are still quite a few, I'm sure, hard-coded rules that have to be written in there that you can't find in the data dictionary.
Yeah, but I think those should be very limited if...
Well, I don't disagree, but this is one of the ones that I think it makes sense to do.
Yeah, well.
But, you know, I mean, because you have to hard code a number of things into the tool that you can't find in a data dictionary because they're listed in the standard reference and not in the data dictionary. Such things like directory length, directory name length. Those aren't in the data dictionary. They're in the standard reference. So you gotta, if you're trying to validate a volume, you go that way. You know, if you're only validating contents of labels, well, okay. But
right. But I guess kind of my point is, if it's hard code, if it's a rule that's implemented in the code, and you're simply hard coding in a triggering of that rule. You could have the trigger be from the dictionary, and we don't quite understand the scope of the changes to the dictionary because we haven't done that assessment yet where we look for all those keywords that have the class of node or description or abstract so that we can say, well, how many of these do we have to change in the dictionary to trigger this rule? Either way, it has to be implemented.
Right.
But it's whether it's triggered by an internal implicit rule or an explicit rule based on the data type. And so I think right now we're just arguing about what should be the trigger, whether it should be implicit or explicit. And I don't think we have a good handle on the scope of that. I suspect it's not that big, but or that troubling, because we have them as classes rather than elements of sort of arbitrary names. So.
Well, in some sense, this is the problem. The task that Ron wanted to do to begin with, but didn't want to see to completion, shall we say, that we would have to go through and vet every single keyword in a dictionary if we wanted to add a keyword to them. Now, if we want to just simply change a general data type to something else, that would be a lot simpler, but you still have to more or less go through.
Okay,
and
but see, I put in
the keywords, at least the class of description and node.
Right. I put in description into the dictionary. I get four matches.
Well, because a lot of them are just DESC, because they have to be abbreviated because of the length of the
keyword.
They have
that's a good example.
Both options.
So, Todd, I was just looking at the blog. Can you add, because I think you made some really good points, can you add to the blog so we don't...
You mean I got to remember what I said?
Either that or you expect my old feeble brain to remember that. That's not good.
Oh, you're recording this, right?
Actually, yeah.
Okay, I'll do that. I'll try and...
And you're on the working group.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take your suggestion, and I'll email Sean and see when he's available. And I know I've been... trying to put this working group together, but I've not been successful.
You said you were saying that you had already talked to Sean, but
yeah.
Didn't quite say what.
Oh, he was agreeing with not hard coding. I think in principle, what he would like, and I have to agree with him, that I think you know, as we progress along, we've really got to work at getting the data dictionary to represent everything that's going on and remove anything that's hard-coded, because it's just not fair for people working on data product, creating data products, that we have these rules that are
transparent.
Yeah. I'm sorry?
Yeah, transparent or...
Yeah,
or
exactly. So things like levels of directory names that can be embedded, directory file name links, all of those things should be embedded somewhere in something like a PDSDD.full or whatever it is that we decide.
Well,
well, I know you don't agree with that.
The things you're saying, no, they shouldn't be because they belong in a standard reference. They are standards, and the data dictionary doesn't necessarily have to address everything that the standard reference says.
No, but there's reasonable attributes to associate with a dictionary term.
Of course.
And I think that's kind of what we're trying to hone in on, or what are the attributes that help us do validation.
Yeah. See, everybody thinks that the tools operate against a standard reference. They don't. They
no,
do not.
That's true. And that's a problem.
It is a problem. And if people would recognize that that is a problem, then we can actually start rectifying.
By the same token, as I say, there's things that are in the standard reference that you really can't put in a data dictionary, and such things have to be hard-coded into the tool.
Name one.
Well, like I just said, the length of a directory name.
Why couldn't you hard-code that? Why couldn't you code that into some relation in the data dictionary?
Okay, you tell me how.
Well, there would have to be a formation rule of some sort because, like you're saying...
But it's not a keyword.
Well, it doesn't necessarily even have to be a keyword. It could be something like if you look at the units...
If you start adding things that aren't keywords to the data dictionary, then it's not a data dictionary, is it?
Look at the how we define units, and I'm not saying that's a good example, but how we've defined units in the PSDD, and that's what the tools operate against, is that specification. There are a number of things in the data dictionary currently that do not actually have anything to do with either a data element or a data object. I mean, personally, I think there should be a whole section on how you validate an entire volume, and that should be in the PSDD. Now, that's just my opinion, as opposed to hard-coding these attributes into a tool.
Boy, now you
call that.
You're getting
into then call that something other than a data dictionary, because now it's essentially a validation dictionary.
If I could come back, I mean, you know, the character set or what's allowed for a general data type is one example of a formation rule in terms. And then there's, like with directory paths, that's another example where you would say, well, you know, somehow you'd have to describe the algorithm or the formation rule for a path saying, you know, the delimiter is the following and each segment can not exceed a certain number of letters, you know, certain letters or whatever the restrictions are.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the kind of thing that could be described in some sort of machine-readable way.
Right, yeah.
Okay.
Another thing, Ron, that's not in the data dictionary?
Uh-huh.
Pointer rules.
That,
exactly, yeah.
Yeah, but it's going into Steve's model. So
I realize that, but it's not in the data dictionary, and I'm not sure it belongs.
Wait a minute. Wait. No raising of voice, please.
I'm not really raising my voice.
I keep turning the volume down. okay, fine.
You know, there are a number of examples that exist. Now,
yeah.
You wouldn't necessarily have to hard code that if you wanted to just find some sort of plug-in the pointer resolution rules, but it doesn't exist in the validation tool currently, and it needs to.
I agree.
But it's not in the data dictionary, and I strongly argue that it doesn't belong in the data dictionary. If you want,
okay, then let's just
something that's called a validation dictionary or a validation configuration file.
Yeah. Right.
And that's what we need, but.
Lyle, you're 100% right.
There are things that either have to be hard-coded or you need some other configuration file besides the data dictionary.
Exactly.
Okay, not everything has to go into data dictionary.
Right, and I mean, you're right, Lyle. I think we're talking about the same thing. And just I'll go back to the general data type. When you say character, that means a specific character set. There's no, in the dictionary, there's no explicit definition of what that character set is. We know what it is from the standards reference.
Mm-hmm.
And that is kind of probably hard-coded currently into the validation tool, that what is that character set. But like you said, really that formation rule preferably should be a configuration, external configurably, or an external configuration for the validation tool saying, what is the character set for data type character? So that you don't have to modify the code, you simply modify this external reference. And the same would be true for other types of formation rules. Or like you said, it's coded into a plugin which can be easily modified and merged in. Whatever the implementation method, the idea is not to have it so, I guess, hard-coded in that sense, you know, that you have to go in and modify your core bit of software in order to propagate a change, a standards change.
What scares me is really trying to go back through the entire data dictionary and either changing the value of general data type or adding a new keyword.
A new attribute, you mean?
Right, a new attribute that says whatever it was you suggested.
Mm-hmm.
What was it?
I mean, it doesn't matter. But you know,
alphanumeric set,
it's another attribute. Yeah. Well, the good news is we all seem to think it's really important to get the hard coding out of the tool. The implementation is secondary to that.
Right. I guess when I say hard coded, I mean something to the point of the tool has to handle it, not the data dictionary.
Okay. Let me ask this question, because I have this kind of, I'll explain my point of view, and that is when it comes to data dictionary, I think the attributes associated with an element should influence how that element is handled. That the actual name of the element is immaterial in how the element is to be handled. You know, the explicit name does not matter. It is the attributes that matter. Now, given that, hard coding in something that looks at the name and says, well, if it ends in DESC or description, do the following, sort of breaks that rule for me, in that the attributes influence it, not the name.
Hey.
And I'm just wondering, that, you know, I kind of hear from you, Lyle, that you think that the name should influence it in terms of the hard coding.
Well, I'm not going to put words in your mouth, Lyle, but I think what Lyle is saying is that keywords have these things called class words, and had they not been as bastardized as they are, then we could have used the keyword class as a mechanism for enforcing some of these rule sets, but unfortunately, it just doesn't work that way anymore.
Well, that's probably true, and if an attribute was class, then, you know, name again wouldn't matter,
mm-hmm.
And you know there's that perspective too.
Right. Like all of the keywords that end in desk or text or you know and you know whatever
or note or
yeah would have either identical attributes or same as similar attributes, but it just can't work that way anymore. Now I'm not saying in PDF you know whatever follows what we're doing now it shouldn't work that way.
Why can't it work that way?
Well,
it goes back to attributes being the controlling sort of set of parameters rather than actual names. But because the names, the textual names, are really mostly for human benefit.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah.
And not necessarily for machine interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
But there can be formation rules for element names, but yeah, that's a whole other topic,
mm-hmm.
in which you can embed class information and kind of parent information and all that kind of thing, where there's inheritance rules and all these other things get expressed in the name. But you know, that I think that's a different tangential sort of subject, because we're not going to go back and change the names of elements in the current dictionary.
We can't?
Yeah, we can.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Well, I'll see about setting this up with Sean. I'll give a walk over there. Is there a good time for you guys to set this up?
Never, but whatever works.
I'm sorry, Lyle?
There's no such thing as a good time.
Okay. I mean, that's why I haven't set these. It's just things are crazy. Okay, but
there
I'll...
There's
such
a thing as a right time. Martin Luther King said, now is always the right time to do the right thing.
There you go.
So.
Cool. Okay, I'll try and set it up. Thanks. Thanks for hanging in here. You guys have a good one, and I'll...
You too.
Talk to you later.
All right.
And bye, Ron.
Bye.
See ya.